So today we start discussing, we start this right, we're going to get deeper into the question of how much one is supposed to give for tzedakah, what's the proper shiur of tzedakah. So when you look through the Makoros, you see several shiurim that are thrown around. Let me start with a quick survey of the main shiurim that you find. One thing you see in our Gemara itself, on Daf Tes Amid Aleph, is this idea of Rav Asi. Somebody tell us about Rav Asi quickly. Rav Asi le'olam, al yimna atzman milase shlishis hashekel b'shana, shenemar ve'hemadnu aleinu mitzvos, lases aleinu shlishis hashekel b'shana, la'avodas beis elokeinu. That's a pasuk in Nehemiah. Here you have it over here. When they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, they accepted upon themselves to give a shlishis hashekel. So hold this bait, where does that shiur come from? Many Rishonim, the Ramban, Al Torah amongst them, say this was actually just the machitzis hashekel, but the weight of silver had shifted over the generations. So a shlishis hashekel in Bayis Sheni era coins was a machitzis hashekel in weight of Mishkan coins. That's a standard read a lot of Rishonim have. The strange thing is, how does the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Tes get from pledge to the Beis HaMikdash of Shlishis HaShekel B'Shana, Lavodas Beis Elokeinu, to Tzedakah? Right? So this bothers Tosos. What does Tosos say? Tosos Bava Basra Daf Tes Amid Aleph. Anybody see this Tosos? Ned? Louder. Yitzi Tanner?
Yeah.
Ah. Tanner?
But also Tosfot says that better quiet is stuck.
What?
Tosfot says that better quiet is considered stuck.
I better get bias is?
Considered stuck.
Yeah, sort of. What does he say? Read Tosfot inside for us. Yeah. So he doesn't say it is Bedek HaBayis. He says even though the Pasuk is talking about contributions to the Beis HaMikdash, Kol Shekein Tzedakah.
Oh, okay, sorry. So we learn from Bedek HaBayis.
Exactly. So I think he's saying there are two separate dinim altogether, right? He's saying, of course, there's no natural analogy between Bedek HaBayis and Tzedaka. But if you have this chiyuv to contribute to the Beis HaMikdash, then alachas kam v'kama, you have a chiyuv to contribute towards aniyim. Everybody see that? So it's a very strange move, meaning how do you get from one to the other? But I think if you look at it from the perspective of the giver, you know, what are the obligations that we have to give from our wealth to others? It's somewhat coherent. Right, the idea is everyone at least has to give away some money every year. In the times of Nehemiah, it was giving it to the Beis HaMikdash. But in our day, we have the chiyuv to give it to the tzedakah, at a minimum. Yes? Obviously, the recipient is a very different type of entity. One's charity, one's for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. But I think from a perspective of the giver perspective, which we've been exploring a little bit, you can make sense of this this kolshek thing. Everybody agree? Because we're just talking about what's your chiyuv to give from your money every year. So at a minimum, it's shlishis hashekel. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, but then tzedakah was a thing when they were building the mikdash, obviously, when they had to build it. So like, why was that not mentioned?
Right, so I think it might be mentioned separately, but the point here is just how much do you have a chiyuv to give of your own assets every year? So at a minimum, shlishis hashekel. You could almost think of this as, we've been looking at tzedakah about the right of the recipient, right?
No, right.
But then we took a little break and we saw in like the 2 shiurim ago, there are also aspects of tzedakah that are about the duty of the giver. Maybe it's even just to remind yourself that your money is not yours. Maybe it's to exercise your virtues of beneficence. I think this mimra, and we'll see this work out. Let me emphasize it a little further. The way to get from Bedek HaBayis to Tzedakah just makes sense if we're talking about a general obligation of giving. Right? To appreciate that the money is not truly yours, you have to support other causes. To my mind, then it's natural to say, oh, Bedek HaBayis, who hadn't for Tzedakah? But if you're thinking about a recipient-based thing, it's to my mind, you're blocked from making the move about what demands the Beis HaMikdash makes on you to what demands the Aniyim make on you. They're just totally different types of causes. Make sense? Yeah. Let me say, I'll say a little more about that in a second.
Well, if you're removed from a recipient, doesn't it ultimately have to come down to what the needs are of the recipient at that point in time?
Oh, so what I want to emphasize in response to both of these points is that many of the Rishonim, one of the major questions we're going to discuss today is how do you reconcile the different shiurim of staka that you see in different places? So here we're in Shlishis HaShekel. That's called the Basra Daf Tes. So you see, we're on page 49 of the source sheet right now. I'm just using the computer screen, so I don't have the Zoom set up for everything else, but that's all right. All right, you see? Okay. Let me switch out my volume. Now my volume is all the way up in case you're making a comment, okay? Okay. So how do you make sense of Shlish Shekel? So it's a Kal Chomer from Bedek HaBayis. And look what the Ritva here says. Bava Basra Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Let's get a volunteer to read it. Zab, why don't you read it for us? Lola Ma Yimna Adam Atma Mishlish Shekel.
So I actually can't see the board because I don't want to glass something, so I'm just trying to flip the
sheet. Yeah, okay.
On my computer, click on
49.
Yeah, it looks different. It's about plus two. So a person shouldn't give less than Shlish Shekel every year.
Meaning what?
You shouldn't give to other aniyim in another city.
Well, what's that? What does the lo'ola mean? Why is the lo'ola ma'ayim na'atzmo? So you're trying to say it means afilu leka aniyim ba'asrei. What does that mean?
Even if the aniyim are not, there's no aniyim in your city.
Exactly. Meaning even if there are no needs of aniyim to be satisfied in your town. So from a rights-based perspective, there is no claim against your assets and your tzedakah. Even so, there's a separate chiyuv on the tzad of the giver. Everybody see that? So I think one thing that's really beautiful about this ritva is that it fits nicely with Tosfos' observation, or at least our explanation of Tosfos' observation, that the kol shekein from Bedek HaBayis only makes sense from a giver's perspective. And then the ritva's analysis extends this a little further. The ritva's whole point is that this is a chiyuv tzedakah, even if there really is no ani who needs it. Right, that's why we say, oh, you should try to give it to Ani Ir Acheres, right? Even if that Ani is not making a direct claim on you. And let me just make one more point, Daniel, then I'll take your hand. The Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Zayin Hey. Let's take, Daniel, why don't you read this Rambam for us quickly? Ba Ani, this is on page 51 on the source sheet.
Ba Ani Shalom Torah, Be'inyan Yan Hanokin Masegis.
Okay, so you're supposed to give the Machsoro. If you can't give that amount, then you could give a little less, whatever. But then read this line, the Lolam. So the Rambam here already asks that Shlishis HaShekel is the Rambam Matnas Aniyim Zayin Hey is the bare minimum. Right? Less than this is Loki and Mitzvah. I always get these symbols backwards. Less than this is low-key mitzvah. Good? So this is the bare minimum shear. Now the Radvaz commenting on this says, Baba Basra, Amaravasi, Lo'olam al-Yimna Atzmo. And then he adds this explanation. V'ein hadvar mamurim, take it away, Daniel. Yeah, so notice how does he characterize the shear of Shlish Shekel?
Only when there are no aniyim.
Oh, Shein Tzorech Aniyim. When there's no need of aniyim, then Shlish Shekel is the shear tzedakah. Which again emphasizes to my mind that that's the shear mitzad hanosein. Right, it's a minimum amount that you should give, and that's I think consistent very nicely with Tosis's point about Beta Cavalis, and this aspect of tzedakah could be viewed as just the bare bottom giver's obligation, totally distinct from the needs of the Aniyim. But if there are needs, then we're going to have to appeal to a different shear. Daniel?
Right, so when there's any stuff for Aniyim, or like with the ritva that you're supposed to give, right, for the Aniyim of the Olam, like if you're giving this to none in your city, let's say like world poverty was solved, who are you giving to? Like, it's like storing it in commodity.
Like in the Radvaz's example of Ein Sorach Aniyim?
Yeah, like let's say there is no Ani. Like everyone is well off, or like we have like a socialist society where everyone's equal.
Right. It's a great question. I think that you could even say, oh, then you give it to the Bedeka Bias. You know, you buy a new bima for the shul. You buy a new svarim for the shul. Right?
That's a sort of stuff. It's not stuff. It's just like you being able to contribute to the world in some way.
I think so. That would work nicely with the makar of the Gemara and Babasara being from Bedeka Bias. Right? So if we take your utopian reality where everybody's needs are met, so there's not even de machzoro to meet, correct? Then yeah, I think it would just be a chiv to give it to some cause that, you know, helps the community in some way. Yeah. And that's where you get this permeable boundary between tzedakah proper and just charitable giving in the American sense. Yeah, great. Everybody good at the discussion of Shlish Shekel, the sheer bottom, base bottom? Okay. Benji.
I think it's an interesting categorization that the Rambam's now making of this mitzvah. It's like some sort of like mitzvah that says Shazman Rama. Right? Because it's...
Oh, you mean that it depends on the contingencies of your time?
No, in that like you have to do it once a year.
Yeah.
Meaning if like it never, you know, if the opportunity never arises...
Right, yeah, once a year.
It's not like Shlosser King, where it's like you could do it.
You know, I think that's implicit in the Gemara itself, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Yeah, Amar Ravasi. Lo'olam ha'yim na'ad ha'masam v'lasei shlish la'shaka b'shana. So the shana relativization thing, and that's right in the Pasuk in Nechemia, Parakidol.
Right. I guess once we learn it out from the Pasuk in Nechemia, then it makes sense.
Yeah. It's like a yearly contribution. Annual contribution.
So would you say that like Nashim would be chayiv in the case where Ani is standing before him? Because that's like a mitzvah that says
Shlosh Ma'amar. It's an interesting question. I would say this is more of a shear, not... I mean, you could sometimes distinguish between whether the mitzvah is Mitzvah Shlosh Ma'amar versus just the shear of the mitzvah is annualized. And here I would say the chayiv is maybe constant, but the shear is annualized.
So could you give one shekel every 3 years?
Benji, what are you trying to get out of here? What's going on?
I'm just trying to, like, I don't know, I guess I'm a little confused about, like, how it's a shear, but it's also, like, a...
You're saying at a minimum, you should give at least a third of a shekel a year.
Right.
Right? So you have a constant chiyuv tzedakah, but at a minimum, this is how much you should give.
Okay.
Right, but if there's tzorech aniyim, then the shear arises, which we're going to see in a second. But I mean, this is just one shear at Saka.
So it's not like a separate mitzvah, it's like...
Correct.
It's a change in shear.
Oh, correct. That's exactly what I want to say so far. Tzedakah is going to extend across the whole top of the board. Well, everything we're discussing today is Saka. These are just different shear with Saka, and we're trying to reconcile all those different shear. Yeah. Good. I do want to add further to Benji's point, this is the point I thought you were making, is that Tzedakah is, in its essence, going to be sensitive to social conditions. You know, I think there's always an interesting background question in halacha, to what extent the halacha legislates in a way that's indifferent to how society actually looks. Like Shabbos is always the seventh day, right? Regardless of where you live, whether maybe the timeline issue, the date line, maybe the date line undercuts even that point. But in tzedakah, I just think it's so clearly sent. There's no way to actually define the mitzvah of tzedakah without social institutions determining what, how much is right for each person to give, and how much is right for the aniyim to receive.
You get this with Matana Leonin. It was recently some discussion, I heard the philosophy or something, they're trying to, based off inflation, they're trying to, you know, maybe change the normal amount of money people should give for Matana Leonin.
Yeah.
Because of this sort of thinking.
Yeah. Right. So I think that's going to be embedded in the discussion that we're going to see anyway. That you need some institution to administer how much stuck a person's entitled to receive, how much this person's obligated to give, right? Yeah. So good. We'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, that's point number one for today. This Shlishta Shekel Shir, and how that seems to look at this from the perspective of the Nosein. Now, I want to move us to the second Shir that comes up very frequently. So I'll mention this one very quickly. We'll have more to say about it. Another Shir that you find, and then let me just say, notice that a Shlishis HaShekel, how would you characterize that Shir?
Not a lot,
right? Certainly not a lot for us.
Fixed year?
What?
Like fixed?
Okay. Yes. It's absolute and it's fixed.
30 cents.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Meaning it's a fixed amount, right? Does everybody see that? Totally invariable to how much you make, how much money you have, how much that Daniyim need, right? At least on its own terms. The second shear that you find discussed, again, not deeply in the Gemara itself, but in the poskim extensively and all the more so in contemporary discussions, is the idea of Meiser. Are you done your hand already?
One of the Rabbis might not be fixed, right?
Because it depends on Sarafanium.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I meant by that last phrase, at least on its own terms. Meaning, to the extent that this din applies, it's invariable to... Whether this din itself applies may depend on other considerations. So whether the Shlishta Shekel Shir Babas Ritas applies may depend on whether there is Tzorach Anyan. So I agree with that. Okay. The Shir of Meiser. So this appears actually not so explicitly in the Gemara. I'll tell you, where do you get Meiser from? Where's the source of Meiser? What? Aser to Aser is for Tvua. Right? Isn't Aser to Aser is called Tvuos? Zarecha. So you have it for agricultural things. But then you also have, where else do you have the idea of Meiser? So the Gemara in Ksuvis cites it. Anybody familiar with this? Yeah, I'm gonna have it over here. Ksuvis Daf Nun, we'll look at this in greater detail. The Gemara quotes an idea of Meiser, but it's not really for Meiser in this context. The Gemara talks about Amavazvez Al Yavazvez Yoser Mechomesh. You guys familiar with that, Takana? A person shouldn't spend more than 20% of their income on staka. We'll come back to this. And at the end, the Gemara says, what's the source for this? Maikra, what's the pasuk? Ned? Yeah, where's that from?
Someone
say the Torah.
No.
Isn't it Bereishis?
Yeah,
doesn't Avram come? He makes a Mizbeach and he says, if you help me out, then I think it's Avram.
It's Avram by Stil.
What?
By Stil.
Yeah, that's the... So if you help me out, then I'll give a Aser Asranu. Although the Gemara here darshans it to mean a Chomesh.
No, it's Yaakov by the Nether.
What?
It's Yaakov by the Nether, the way you're
saying. Yeah, on his way to Haran, when he's afraid of being... Yeah, there we go. Eitan. Who said Avram?
Bad.
Oh, Zed, come on.
I was thinking of... not... Still, who's the one who says it's Shem? Who's the king? No,
All right. Well, good thing that we're not in Sefer Bereishis now, or else it'd be inexcusable. I'm just kidding. Aser Asranu is Yaakov, and so we're told that it's in the Gemara darshens this as two Meisers, which gets you somehow a fifth rather than a tenth, which we'll talk about. But you could just read the pasuk on its own as saying Aser Asranu means I'll give a Meiser, and it's just a hyperbolic language, right? I'll give you a tenth. So that could be the source. But when you look at the Mefarshim, who talk about Meiser, you have the Orzeruah, who seems to talk about it explicitly. And he says this. Blah, blah, blah. Quotes a few psukim. Aser to aser. V'chulei. Heviu es kol ha-maiser al beis ha-otzer. Different pasuk that mentions maiser. And he says, Lamanu shem mitzvah la-adam la-aser es mamono. V'chol ma-shem marbe b'maseros marbe b'osher v'ha-marbe b'tztaka yosem en ha-maiseros ha-reza m'shubach. So this phrase of la-aser es mamono refers to maiser k'stafin, right? It's not well-founded or well-grounded in the Gemara at all, but here's an example of a Rishon who adopts it. The Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Mem Tes clearly adopts this principle implicitly. So Reish Mem Tes in Yeridah Sif Aleph, here's what we're told. So Ned, why don't you just read this?
Sure,
yeah, though. Skip Al Yivazes Yosem Echomash. Right there. Val Yavaz Yosem Echomash. Vein Lasos. Right, Vein Lasos Vimeister Shalot Dabar Mitzvah. When you talk about your Meiser should be devoted exclusively to the Aniyim. Do you see that? You shouldn't use your Meiser for any other Dvar Mitzvah. So you can see the Ramah is implicitly adopting this idea of Meiser Ksafim. Right? It's one of these things that just maybe mysteriously makes its way into the Rishonim. We'll see there's another way to understand the source for it. So basically, this Ramah is usually cited as the source for there being Meiser Ksafim. All right, and he's citing this from the Ma'aril in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. And then you have a very famous debate amongst the poskim here about whether this is Deoraisa or Drabanan. The Bach in Yerideya, Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, commenting on this idea, says this. Ned, take it away. Mew.
The names El Masrani, Mezer Haaretz, she gets at the same time. Al Mashan Maser, Mashan Ria, Bas Matan, Kixafin, Shar Rahim, Eino, Bechlau, Zen.
Yeah, this is the Bach's famous comment in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph that the only Deoraisa basis for Meiser is for the agricultural Meiser, not for the Meiser Ksafim idea. And so he thinks there really is no restriction on how you use it. And this phrase at the end, Sharei Eino Chayba Lomen HaTorah V'Lomi Drabanan. Right, there's neither a Deoraisa nor a Drabanan basis for Meiser Ksafim. It's just a type of minag. See that? Yeah. That's the Bach's famous position. And then there are HaShulchan discussing these different shiurim.
Just to clarify, when he's saying there's no Doraisa or Durban basis, it's not on giving stam, it's aniyim versus like communal aniyim.
What do you mean? He's saying there's no basis for Meiser. The idea of giving, right? The idea of giving a tenth of your...
Which should be given to?
The first thing. The first thing, right. There's no Deoraisa, or there's the Gemara never really talks about Meiser of your cash income. Right? Despite the fact that this is considered so... I don't know, you guys find this like so accepted idea of Meiser? What is that? Your Meiser money? It's a minog, according to the Bach. Right, it doesn't have any firm basis in halacha itself. The Aruch HaShulchan, Simon Reish Mem Tes, runs with this idea also. And he says here in your day, Reish Mem Tes Beis, here. V'nir lan yez daiti. Ned, just take this line away. Yeah. So same idea that you get from the Bach, that these shiurim of tzedakah, of maaser, those don't have any deoraisa basis. He does say midrabanan, which is stronger than the Bach. But he thinks there's no, certainly no deoraisa basis for this idea of maaser. Okay? So we have Orzarua, who quotes it, citing the pasuk of Aser Taser Kol Tivu Asarecha, and the Orzarua extends it to Meiser Ksafim. But you have the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan, who think that that's maybe just the minhag has no real basis in halacha. Yes? Everyone with me so far? Okay. Yeah, it's some type of drabbanon that they made an asmachta. It's not clear if he thinks it's takana drabbanon or just like a minhag that the... But yeah, you're right. If you wanted to sing it, the Bach is much more skeptical about its halachic origins. Maybe the Aruch HaShulchan is open to being a takana drabbanon. Right? Asmachu akra debchal asher tifin liaser asrenu lach. Right? And again, he cites like Mark Suvis that Meiser min haTorah hu rak b'tfua v'lo la'aniyim. Again, same idea that the Bach mentioned. Okay? Now, what would you say? What type of tzedakah or what type of amount is this?
Or no, variable.
It's variable. Well, yeah, it's proportional. It's a percentage, right? So it's not a fixed amount. Shlishis hashekel. It's a percentage of your income or your assets. We'll see different formulations about that later on. Okay, so that's the second shear I want to get into. You have the idea of Meiser, but it's the least well-founded, even if it's the most popular, it's the least well-founded halachically. Josh?
This also makes sense if you say it's on a giver, right? Like, it's like, you have to be willing
yeah.
to give it and have to do stuff.
Good, yeah. So notice, this is clearly a giver. If you want to locate the momentum, the emphasis of the mitzvah, this seems to be on the giver side, right? It's just a fixed percentage of your income, and it's going to depend how much you make.
So on that point, we were presenting the shlishit as on the giver also, but like that doesn't make sense once you contrast it with this.
Why? Everyone has to give at least this amount to tzedakah.
I mean, if you view from the perspective of like the Beis Hamikdash, couldn't it have been that like we calculated how much was needed and came out to a shlishit per person and.
You could say that. That's not the sense you get. I guess you'd have to look at the psukim and know like. How much money was it that they said this is our needs and they distributed it, they allocated it? Right, I don't know. Yeah. So we don't have to take a stand on the, but I agree that here it does sound, it's just so totally on the giver. Everyone should give 10%, you know. Yeah, Ned.
You don't think of that taxes, you don't think of the percentages necessarily that you want to give. That's how we distribute the societal costs.
Yeah.
Except
that here it's so decentralized, meaning it's not that you have a budget like the fiscal office that says here's how much revenue we have to raise, and if we charge everybody 10%, we'll meet our budget. It just is so absolute and categorical that yeah, every Jew has to give 10% of their income without any central office determining this is the amount of revenue we have to raise. That's my sense. And I think the same thing is true for the Shlish HaShekel. I mean, maybe in the Mishkan case, to respond to Shmuel's point, yeah, maybe in the Mishkan's case, they knew that's how much they needed. But it's not the case that we know today that, oh, if everyone gives Meiser, then we're going to meet our revenue needs. All right, so it just sounds like, oh, an absolute shoot, this is how much everybody should be giving away. Eitan?
Yeah. Does the 10% have to be given to Jews, or can you say, like, oh, taxes were taken away, and that counts as 10%?
Yeah, so again... It's so ill-sourced in halacha, you know, to figure out what it is anyway. We could look more into it, but there doesn't seem to be any in-principle objection to allowing your miser to go to... Well, let me say this. The whole point of the Bach is that you're not restricted to actual tzedakah. Right, that was the Bach in Shin Lamed Aleph. Masha adam maser ni masha marviach masa matan kiksafim b'sharavachim eino bechlal zeh. Right, that's not limited to being just for aniyim. That could also go to other types of needs, pidyon shvuyim. I think also things like supporting a shul, stuff like that.
You can't say that all the taxes on getting counts as much stuff.
Well, I guess it would depend on what your tax dollars are going to, right? certain public goods, arguably, yes. Even though it's not the standard view amongst poskim. Like, the standard view amongst poskim is that it should be limited to tzedaka. But they're really just running with the minug. Like, they're running with this Rama over here. The ain lasos mimaiser shalo dvar mitzvah, raki tzenu la'anim. That's the if you run with this Ramah that there is a like the Oruz Ruah is a real din staka, maybe in Meister Kstafim, then it should be limited to that. Okay, so let's get our so far we have two shiurim on the table. Let's talk about a third shiur very quickly, and then we'll get into the Gemara in Ksuvos about De Machsoro in greater depth. We have a third discussion here that appears in the Gemara Ksuvos Daf Nun, the Takana of Usha. So we spoke a lot actually earlier in the year about the idea of Takanos. You know, a Takana seems to be a type of legislation, right? Just some entity that has the power to make laws, proclaims a law over its constituents. So you have a Takanas Usha here. So what did they, what were they metakin? Hamivazves, Josh, take it away for us. Yeah, and Rashi here explains that Hamivazves is referring to Aniyim. Right, so somebody who's giving away their money to Aniyim shouldn't give away more than 20%, a fifth. Now, why is that limit there? So the Brisa expounds. So what's the reason why we put this cap?
Maybe you'll need it. Is that just not for his own life? Or yeah, maybe you'll need it for your own life.
Yeah, we don't want you to become poor. So in Usha, I guess they did an assessment of how much money people have, and they decided that if people give more than a fifth, they're going to run the risk of becoming poor themselves. Chayecha kodmin lechaye chavercha. So you have a duty to save yourself more than a duty to save your friend. So don't give away too much of your assets. You gotta be responsible. Make sense? Okay. Notice here, this is just a maximum cap on giving. It's not a sheer about how much you have to give. Daniel?
I was wondering, let's say you put it in your will to give more than 20%.
Yeah, that's fine, because you could see the Bavli distinguishes between when you're alive and when you're dead. Do you see that? Oh, so look at this. So Maisa Be'echad. Daniel, why don't you read it for us, because you asked. Maisa Be'echad Shebikesh. Okay, so they wouldn't let him give more than that. That's the first pass. But then you get over here, Kika Nicha Nafshe. Yeah, give me my cheshbin of staka. He saw that he wasn't giving enough. So come, bizbizde lapalge mamone. Meaning what? He got up and he gave away half of his mamon. Right? So, hey, chiyabidachi, it's against, so go ahead. Less lamba. Meaning the takana of Usha only applies during somebody's lifetime, but if they want to give away their money after their death, they could give away as much as they want. Which, by the way, that's the Gemara in Ksuvos Samach Zayin. Which, by the way, reinforces what notion? Why are you allowed to give it away after your death?
You don't need it for yourself.
Exactly. That concern about Chayecha Kodmin no longer applies once you're dead. No longer applies once you're dead.
What about, that was really referring to the inheritance, really. It's like, so I guess the money is not fully transferred to the
Yorshim yet, right.
The Yorshim.
Right, that's fine. But the point is that Takanas Usha is really just limited to making sure that you have enough for your retirement, for your life. Because Chayecha Kodmin. But if you want to give it away in a will, right, for after you die, that's totally kosher. You give away all your assets, or most of your assets. Right? So, but Takanas Usha, from the way the Bavli has it, it's not really a shear in staka for the Bavli. In Ksuvos, Bozan, Daf Nun, and Samach Zayin. Let me just make sure that first one is Daf Nun. Yeah. Both Daf Nun and Daf Samach Zayin. It's really just a maximum. It's a maximum. It's a cap. We agreed on that? And even the cap is just a technical consideration of Chayecha Kodmin. Okay? to make sure that you're not going to be in the stare equilibrios. Okay, but the reason, Josh.
It's a little strange, given that like we make Abinim also pay tzedakah, right?
Well, you're saying that fact itself is strange, or
meaning this takana is meaning this guy has enough money, but we're worried that he might eventually become money. But as opposed to like we make money and paying it
ourselves, no? Right, but that could just be a token amount, you know. Shlish slash shekel, they just give that as symbolic that they should also be mekayim the mitzvah. Doesn't sound like that as real financial bite.
Oh, so like nobody would say that after becoming 10%.
Okay. Arguably, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, people today might say that because Meister gets abused, but. Doesn't mean it's right. The Yerushalmi, I just want to say this, the reason why we're talking about the Takanas Usha in the context of today's discussion, if it's not a shear of tzedakah, so why are we talking about this? Because that's only the Bavli's reading of it. The Yerushalmi presents the Takanas Usha more substantively. So if you look at the Yerushalmi in Peya, Perek Aleph, what's the first Mishnah in Peya? Very famous Mishnah. Say it every morning. The Yerushalmi comments, Hada de Tamar begufo, aval b'mamono yesh lo shir. When the Mishnah says, Eilu dvarim she'en lahem shir, that means for your physical involvement. You don't have to go, there's no shir to the amount of times you have to travel to Vienna to make a Purim Suda for refugees. But for your financial contribution, that has a shir. Okay, what's the shear? So then we're told, Bshim ben Lakish, Bshim Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Beusha Nimnu. So Benji, tell us about what the Yerushalmi presents here.
Beusha Nimnu, she ma'afrish chomesh b'nechseh l'mitzvah, l'nechseh l'mitzvah.
So what does Yerushalmi present it as?
That someone should give. That in Usha, that they said that that there is a shear when it comes to tzedakah.
Oh. Yeah, what's the shear? Oh. So in Usha, they made it that kind of that people should give a chomesh. Now, you don't get the sense from the Yerushalmi that this is a maximum cap just to make sure that people don't go broke from donating. Right? The way the Yerushalmi presents, they got together and they made a takana that a person should give a fifth of his nechasim for tzedakah. That sounds like it's the actual shear, 20%. Agreed? Then you get the following analysis. So I think that's a new shear that we have, 20%, which is like the idea of meiser, but more than meiser. Again, takana, and Yerushalmi, it's very clear that there's a takana drabana from Usha. But then the Yerushalmi adds the following, ad heichan. Now, what it is that the Yerushalmi is... let me actually say something about this latter. We're going to skip a few lines and come back to it. Then the Yerushalmi has this discussion of Rabbi Gamliel ben Ininu. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Anybody know how to pronounce his name? Ininu? All right. Baikume Rabbi Mana. Ma chomesh b'chol shana v'shana l'chameshanim humafsid kula. The problem is if you give 20% every year, right? So it keeps taking a bigger bite. So the idea is you give 20% your first year, right? Now you're left with 80% of your assets. Then you give 20% of that. So the thought is like it keeps cutting into your net wealth. Right, but it's not obvious that you're replenishing. I mean, if you have like an endowment and you take out 20% every year.
It sounds like more than a wealth tax, that's why.
Yeah, as a wealth tax, exactly. So that's exactly the answer. Right, this sounds like he's assuming it's a wealth tax. And that's the answer that the government says, Amar le betchila lekera and mikan ve'elach l'schar. The first time you give tzedakah, you give it as a wealth tax, 20% of your net worth. And then afterwards, you only give it as income tax. 20% of the schar that you bring in. So the Yerushalmi actually has a very interesting explication here about year one. It's 20%, it's a percentage of wealth. But then for anything greater than year one, it becomes income tax, a percentage of your income. Assuming that you're less wealthy when you start off giving tzedakah, it works to your advantage, right? Because, I don't know, whatever the first year you give tzedakah, you probably don't have so much money.
You'll get more money.
Yeah, later on, that's right. Okay, so everybody, that's the Yerushalmi's interesting distinction. You see that gets assimilated into the poskim. So it's not clear when you start counting year one from, but your first year, I guess that you're a taxpayer, I don't know. But the first year that you're financially independent, you pay 20% of your assets for tzedakah, and then 20% of your income every year after that. All right? Then the Yerushalmi says this, Ad Heichan. Sorry. Ad Heichan. So we have three views. Ad Kidei Truma Utrumas Meiser. Charna says, so we have two views. Kabedes Hashem Me'onecha, Mereishes Kol Tevu Asecha, Kimereishes Kol Tevu Asecha. So you have two views here in the Yerushalmi. So what do these mean? So the Pnei Moshe says when the Yerushalmi asks Ad Heichan, what's it asking? Yeah.
So how much were you required before that?
Oh, what's the real Chiyuv Tzedakah without the Tzedakah Ma'aseh? That's what we've been trying to figure out the whole time. Right? So what does the Yerushalmi answer here? So the first view is Kitruma. Yes? Ad Kidei Truma or Trumas Meiser. So what are we told here? Kidei Truma. What are the Shirim for Truma, Josh? Okay, so good. So Yerushalmi is asking, according to this reading, Meikar Din, how much stuff you have to give. And we are given a third shear, so we're going to put this over here. Shear Dalid, Yerushalmi Peya. And what do we get on this take? Make our dinner. The rice this year?
3%.
Well, either or, I think.
I thought both. Because
it's a bit. So
the Gemara says more.
Yerushalmi says a bit, but he says, oh. Mm-hmm. Right, the way the Pnei Moshe has it, Bibbein and it's Echad Mechamishim, Ochimas Meis, Echad Mimea.
But that's one or two. How does that make sense?
I guess it's somewhere in that range. Right, maybe it's...
Then it's one.
Well?
And you want to be the bottom end.
Wait, say it again?
If you want to say somewhere in that range, then like...
It's between 1% and 2%.
Then it's 1%.
Why?
So what does that mean, it's between 1% and 2%? Ah, you have to owe someone 1% to 2%. So you want to choose...
You're right. Maybe some people want to do more.
Right, but it doesn't sound like an obligation to do more. It sounds like an obligation to do at least one.
It's interesting. Let's see what the Yerushalmi's language was. It says, Ad Kedei Trumo Trumas Meiser. I see what you're saying. It's kind of strange that it's not defined. All right, well, let's say that... So it's somewhere between 1% and 2%. Right? Is that fair?
I was saying 3, but...
Well, it may be 3. I think in the Pnei Moshe's reading, it's not as... not as clear, right? Daniel, do you agree with that?
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So, Yerushalmi Peya Shir, which is the fourth shir we've seen, like the Takanas Usha and like the Meiser Shir, it's a percentage, but it's a much smaller percentage. Right? If you get the analogy of 1% to 2%. Okay? Everybody clear with that? Right. And then what's the second view... That it's Kaved Hashem Mehonecha Mereishis Kol Tevu Asecha Kimereishis Kol Tevu Asecha. So the Pnei Moshe says, maybe Daniel, this is what you're getting at. Kitruma Gedola Bilvad. I guess that's just a way of saying just a 50th. Right? Taking out the Trumas Meiser suggestion. In which you get 2% truma shear. Right? Okay, makes sense? That's the Yerushalmi's exposition. Now, if you look at the way the poskim codify this, so look for a moment at. Here are some general formulations. Sorry. Here's the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry, that's not the formulation I want from the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to see the formulation. Daniel, do you see the Shulchan Aruch anywhere? Which, oh, here. Oh, no, that's the Aruch HaShulchan.
The one we just saw before.
The Shulchan Aruch, I thought, quotes the shiurim of the different percentages. Okay, I'll dig it up. Oh, here it is.
No. Is it the one on Shir Tinata? I don't know if I guess you think it's up in here.
Where page, what page is that?
For me, it's page 55. We saw the Ramon before.
So no.
It's a little bit well.
I don't think that's it. Okay. One second. Yeah, here. On page 55. Great. So you can see the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea Resh Mem Tes. Shir Nesinasa, we'll talk about that first phrase. But Imein Yada Maseges Kol Kach Yitein Adchal Mesh Nechasav Mitzvah Min HaMavchar, that's Takanas Usha, right? But it's Takanas Usha according to the Yushalmi. Why is Takanas Usha according to the Yushalmi?
Because it's not capped.
Exactly, you think Mitzvah Min HaMavchar is that you should give 20%, right? But then he says, "Echad me'asara mida benonis." Meiser is the, I guess, the average amount you're expected to give. Pachas mikan ayin ra. Anything less than that is considered an ayin ra. Are you already stingy? Right. So it's actually not clear where the Shulchan Aruch, what he does with the 1% or 2% shear. I mean, it sounds like he thinks that's a bad shear to give, right? And he runs with either the Yushalmi on Tekanas Usha of giving 20%, or the idea of Meiser as a reasonable shear. Okay, everybody see that? That's the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Mem Tes. Any questions or comments on these percentage shiurim? Just to lay them out here before you, Benji.
Where does he get that Meiser from?
He doesn't tell us, but presumably he's relying on the Orzarua type theory, the Minog of Maisa, right? Which we saw over here.
But as
Mida Beinonis, meaning he's not saying, oh, there's a din that everybody has to give Maiser Ksafim. He's saying, look, the Maker of Din is supposed to be 20%. Maybe it's like a Drash of Aser Asrenu, like, you know. But Maker of Din thinks Takana Susha is to give 20%, but Mida Beinonis is to give 10%. Right? All right? If you have Bar Ilan, you can look open and see what the Nose Kalim say on that comment there. You want to pull it open? I have it here. Resh Mem Tes. So, Ayin Ra'a, we have... Yeah, The Gra here just cites the idea of Tosus and Tanis, which is where the Or Zeruah is making a similar point that it's a minog to give Maaser. So. Okay. So now I want to get us into the more interesting Shiurim that moves away from all these percentages discussions. Okay? So look here on the source sheet, starting with the discussion of De Machzora. And here we move totally away from the discussions that we've had so far about percentages versus fixed amounts. So we move us to Hey, which is starting from the needs of the yami. There is, yeah, that's conceptually a different way of thinking about staka. Now, you'll remember we saw in the last shiurim already, even before you get to De Machzora, our Gemara on Bavasu Daf Tesamid Aleph spoke about Ein Pochsen Laniha over Mimakum Lamakum, Mikikar Bipundian. And if he sleeps over, Nosen Lo Parnasas Lina. This is on page 43 of the source sheet. And if he stays for Shabbos, you have to give him Mazon of Gimel Sudos. Right? So does everybody see that's you have a traveling money. If you have a traveling money, you have to give him his needs for the day, for the week, right? His sleeping needs, his food needs. So immediate needs of the yami, correct? Now that's clearly looking at it from the perspective of the recipient. Now, that's our Gemara. The Gemara in Ksuvis, Samech Zayin, goes way further and talks about De Machzoro Asher Yechzer Lo, meaning you have to give him whatever he's chaser, whatever he's lacking. Correct? That's the most radical formulation. Of not only the amount of tzedakah that you have to give, but of tzedakah being driven by the needs of the aniyah. Correct? So let's go quickly through that Gemara again. And we're going to look at the shir that the Rishonim generalized based on this. So, Ksivis Samach Zayin Amid Aleph, we're told the following, De Machzoro, Afilu Sus Lirchov Alav Eved Laritz Lefanav. So what does that mean? Right? Even if he's missing his car, even if it's like a nice car with like a GPS, maybe that's the Eved Laritz Lefanav, right? Tell you which way to go. You gotta fill in that lacking, that loss of the Ani. Daniel, yes? Yeah?
Yes,
Dan. Okay. The Gemara then gives a story over here with these pampered Anshei Agalil, guys in Ani Ben Tuvim. He lost all his money. And what did they do? The people of the Anshei Galil HaElyon, they supported him by buying him really fancy meat. Right? They bought him a litra basar b'chol yom. Kobe, you on board for that?
I think it's something you have to do.
Yeah.
It's interesting because the implication is that it depends on what the Ani was used to. Maybe like not.
Correct.
So what we could think.
I think for sure it depends on what the Ani was used to. That's why he's an Ani Ben Tovin. It's an Ani who is the descendant, you know, from a rich family. This is how he was brought up. So, De Machzoro is to give him the meat that he used to have. Daniel?
Well, so does it depend on how he loses the money? Because let's say...
Like what if he was reckless or something?
Not just reckless, but say he did like illegal activity and then he got caught and then he got fined and lost all his money.
Yeah, yeah. Arguably, you know, if he's an Avarian and stuff like that, then... You know, we don't want to encourage bad behavior.
Right.
Well, let's just talk about a guy whose fortunes, you know, he used to be a coal miner. Well, I don't know. That's a good example. But just his fortunes were reversed for no fault of his own.
He had money in Russia. Sorry.
Yeah, he used to be living it up in Kiev, and then he had to flee for his life.
Right.
Right? Arguably, the Vienna trip... Yeah, you know, say what? You have to give people a happy Purim? Like, that's part of your chiyuv tzedaka? Like, as long as they have food, that's sufficient. But no, De Machzor Asher Yechzer Lo. You want them to have the same type of Purim they had last year. Maybe. So the Babli says this. Read the story for us. Anybody prepare the story? Ahudas lekame the Rebbe Nechemia. Ned, take it away. Bameh atah soed. The basar shamin. Yeah, fatty flesh. Yeah, this guy is champagne tastes, right? He always has a nice lamare dinner. Daniel's taking us out at some point. Right. Or is Chayos could take us out. I forget. Or is Chayos us? Oh. Yeah, all the Chassanim are going to pitch in. To, yeah, fine. So what happened? So Nechemia said, okay, Mr. Fancy Ani. Come have lentil soup with me for dinner, you know? I'm not going to take you to La Mare, but you can come have porridge with me.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, he died from the lentils or something. It's not really clear what that... I don't like.
From the disgrace.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, I'd want to hear more about what was the cause... What was the coroner's report on the cause of death, right? And we're told the following, right? Check yourselves. First we're told, Oilo lezeh shehargo Nechemia, Adraba. Right. Was Nechemia killed him? Or Nechemia, like, caused him to die? So what's the point? Ella.
Ella, Ihu hudeloi baile, le penuke nafshe
kuleha. The mafunak. Right, you ever hear that phrase, the mafunak? A mafunak is someone who's spoiled. Right, it comes here. So Nechemia said, I killed him? I didn't kill him. He killed himself. How did he kill himself? By becoming so attached to his luxuries. Right? He basically brought the harm upon himself. I'm not responsible for his death. A guy can't manage with porridge soup. It's crazy. Right? Ned? You agree?
I think the other areas will have
So one second, then the Gemara has a second case with Rava, a similar story. So tell us the second case, and you'll see a lot of the issue in this Gemara is how to make sense of the two different stories. Who does the comment to Rava? Yeah, fancy chicken and fancy wine. Yeah, like what a chutzpah. You're asking me to support you with Yayin Yashan and, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does he say?
I'm not doing for you guys. I'm not discuss you, but discuss God.
Right. Talk about not biting the hand that feeds you. Don't try this at home. You know, somebody says, oh, you need staka, and the guy says, what do you need? And you say, I need a Lamborghini, right? And the guy's like, whoa, you're going to be imposing yourself on the tzibur. Say, I'm not imposing myself on the tzibur. Hashem provides for me. Right?
The toys are from Hashem.
You know, exactly. If I was Rava, I would give this guy like a smack across the face or something. But and the guy even has a pasuk at hand. So what does he say? Any kolachi saberu. Yeah, Hashem gives a beito to everybody in accordance with their needs. So fine. So, you know, Rava, I guess, was not impressed with this guy. But then, just at that moment, his sister shows up, who he hadn't seen in, like, 13 years. And she brings him this Tarnagolas Petuma and Yayin Yashan, right? Which seems to be much more than Rava ever enjoyed. So, Abai says, Mai Dekama? He's like, whoa, what's this that just was brought to me? Amarle, Nesi Lecha Kumechol. So Rava kind of took this as a sign that he shouldn't have been so harsh with the Ani, and he said, oh, Mr. Ani, here's your food. So I guess this is supposed to be an instantiation of Ene Kolachi Saberu Batanos and Sachem Beito. Here Hashem provided right there on the spot the food that this Ani was requesting, and Rava basically capitulated. Ned, you have a...
Yeah, I mean, in this first half where it's... He seems to... I mean, I think the second half story rejects its approach, right? That it's on... It's rejected then.
You think it's rejected?
Or it's modified. Yeah, marijuana after Kashmir, but through human agency or something like that.
Well, for sure it's the human agency. I think that's even the beginning of the story, is the human agency. he's saying that Tzibor is just the agent of Hashem to provide for me. So there are two things to take out of this Gemara. Number one is the din of itself, de machzoro, correct? Which the Gemara applies to even this, you know, yayin yashan and basar shamein. But within the Gemara's discussion of it, you get this tension between the two cases. In the first case, we criticize the ani for being so spoiled. Right? He dies, we say, oh, he killed himself. And in the second case, Rava seems to acknowledge that the ani is entitled to de machzor rasha yachzarlo, the yayin yashan. So how do you navigate those two cases? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, just give you his comments. In Reish Nun, Sif Beis, he quotes these two cases, and he says, Huva sham b'shnei anim shebikshu lechel dafka basar shamin v'yayin yasham lechad nasno, lechad lo nasno. In the first case, right, he had to eat the porridge soup or the lentil soup, the adasher, and he didn't give him the fancy wine. V'hainu taima, so what's his distinction? Very natural distinction.
This one was used to it.
Yeah. One of them actually was raised and had a lifestyle of eating these luxurious things. So it was actually de machzor rasha yachzarlo. That's the second case. The first case was a case of a guy who was trying to take advantage of the tzedakah system. He was always poor. He never really was accustomed to this type of things. And he was saying, oh, I'm being supported by others. Let them support me in a fancy way. That's the distinction. Which is very sensible, right? It's just, right? I mean, that's the din. The din is asher yachzar lo. You don't have to give him more than he's actually chaser. Correct? Yeah. Now, there's another way, I think, to distinguish between the cases. Anybody have a suggestion? You could think about that for a minute, but the Aruch HaShulchan's suggestion is very reasonable. But the question that I want to take up is, how do we make sense of the actual din of de machzor rasha yachzar lo? So here you have two comments in the Shita Mekubetzes that are worth considering. So here's a very famous comment of the Gaonim. According to the Shita Mekubetzes. Anybody want to tell us the Shita of the Gaonim? Benji, you want to take a stab at it?
Yeah. Bain tovim ba'aneinu before some ba'aneinu she'osi lo kavuch lo k'day she'lo yifarsim aval ani she'yifarsim in lo ela ke'echan me'ani yisrael.
Yeah, so what's his point?
His point is
all these dinim of de machzoro only apply.
He doesn't want it to be so public that he like lost all his money.
And therefore we have to.
And therefore, like, you kind of have to slip him money so that he can maintain his image.
Yeah, correct. The thought of the Shidduch Kebetzes is that the dina de machzor rasha yachzar lo only applies to an ani for whom it's not yet known that he lost all his wealth. So we're striving to maintain his lifestyle so that he could not become embarrassed. Right? It's not going to be mefursim ba'anias that he became poor. So that itself, I think, is actually pretty strange. But what do you make of his suggestion? His thought is that if people already know that he's poor, then we don't have an obligation to give him the yayin yashan, because it's already out there. Our job is just to make sure that it doesn't get out. Or if it hasn't gotten out, to let him maintain his lifestyle. Josh?
Seems to me that he's still saying that we care very much about, you know, the ani's like subjective personal feelings of hurt and pain and stuff. He's just arguing that the reason why it hurts a lot to you know, eat less than you used to isn't really because you care so much about the food, it's just because of how you present yourself. But he's maintaining the original assumption.
Good, good, good. So what Josh is saying, and I think Josh is totally right, is that The underlying idea in the Gaonim is something about maintaining the dignity of the ani. Is that what you're saying? What's wrong? What's the cost? Like, what's the problem with it getting out that he's poor?
It'll hurt his feelings, so he'll feel
humiliated.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, it sounds like we're trying to save the Ani from the humiliation of having reversed his fortune. Right, one day you're on Park Avenue, and next day you're in the housing projects. So the thought is, like, we're trying to maintain the dignity of the Ashir, which is why we're maintaining his lifestyle before people find out about his reversal of fortune. Josh, is that a way of putting your point?
Sure.
Yeah. Although it's couched in terms, the idea is that the Ani doesn't actually need the fancy stuff. We just don't want him to suffer the humiliation of people knowing that that he's now poor. I think a different way of putting this, maybe this is what Rabbeinu Yonah is getting at, it's less about the people knowing about him becoming poor, but the idea is that once he's murgal mitchila b'tanugim gedolim, this I think is the more straightforward shot in the Gemara, is that it's part of maintaining somebody's self-respect for themselves that they're able to maintain a comparable lifestyle to what they have. That itself is a form of tzedakah. Do you agree with that analysis? You can make a comment.
Yeah, I don't really think that it's so much about dignity and self-respect in this case.
How else do you make sense of the fact that we're supposed to give a guy his fancy steak dinner?
I think it's a lot more of like from a practical standpoint. It's just what's the easiest way? If some guy gets fired from being like a big executive of Company A, the biggest way to get him out of the state of poverty is for him to be hired by as a chief executive of Company B.
No, well, we're not talking about getting him a job. We're talking about just
he's
eating at home.
Company B is not going to hire him if he's like some bum in the projects. But if he's still like it's like a pity to the baby kind of thing. Because otherwise, like I'm not tired. When do you have to stop?
Ned is shaking his head, and Josh is shaking his head.
He's going to pretend to be an Ani.
Kobe's shaking his head.
He's going to pretend not to be an Ani like forever. It seems like it's very like let's try and keep this under wraps until we can get out of the situation. Even like how modern day unemployment works. It's like if you make a lot of money, you get a big check and you lose your job. You get a big check from the government. You don't like if you lose your job at McDonald's, you get a much smaller job. Why? Because you need that money to get your next job.
I think that's the argument.
I think the government is going.
The argument is usually because you've contributed more while you're working towards unemployment, so that's like an insurance that you're paying in for yourself. I hear your point. It's an interesting point to think about it. It's a clever point. I don't think that would be the punch-up shot in the Gemara. I think the way I read the Gemara is that the Gemara is thinking, or what I take away from the Machzoro, is that yes, tzedakah is much more than meeting someone's basic needs. Tzedakah is about also allowing somebody to continue to have a self-respect and sense of dignity that they had beforehand.
Well, that seems just from the Shitamu Kibetsa that says that.
Which, by the way, are all subjective, right? Because it's relative to where you were. So actually, the way I understand Dei Machzoro is that it's a raya that tzedakah extends beyond basic needs. Do you agree with that? Do you anybody else agree with that reading? I think there's no other way. The way I think Josh is reading of even the Gaonim's view is that him not letting it get out is that he became poor is a way of allowing him to preserve his self-respect.
Like forever? Forever?
To the extent that you can, yeah. And what I take away from that is that in a Hanami that when we think of basic goods or the duties to others, the rights that they have, it's not just the provision of material goods like clothing, shelter, and food, but even that more intangible good of a sense of dignity, a healthy sense of dignity, a sense of self-respect, that's part of supporting somebody else. Right? That's an important social good that people are entitled to have and we have a duty to maintain for them. It's a big chiddush. I mean, Ned, you have a thought on it? How long?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not thinking of saying how long, but whatever your chiyuv tzedakah is, it applies to Dei Machzoro. Josh?
Yeah, I think it's
Do you think the Gonin, let's say the guy was in extreme pain, regardless of anyone else, like seeing him, he is in pain when he eats lentils. Do you think in that case we would have to give him more food or not?
I don't know about the Gonin. Because the Gonim, they're focusing on this Pearsim issue.
I know, but like, is that because they think that's where the pain is?
That's what I think. Right. I think they're thinking that the true pain is in the self, the perception, how you perceive
right.
other people perceiving you.
But if the guy was in extreme pain just from eating lentils, then we wouldn't
right.
give him lentils.
You know, then what?
Then we would give him better.
Of course.
Lentils.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I think. Right. That's why I think that even the Gonim's view is a hechatimsi for talking about dignity and self-respect. But you could talk about that even without the Pearson. Right? Like, I think the Talmid Rabbi Yonah, for example, over here, that an Ashir who is Murgol, Mitchilab Tanugim Gidolim, even his Klape Pnim for himself, right, his self-esteem gets punctured or deflated when now he's eating Adashim by himself. Do you guys agree with that? That's my reading of this. Josh?
To me, it kind of sounds like that gets subsumed under Tsar, though. Like, the reason we care about his dignity is just because he's in pain when he loses the dignity, right? Like, it's not like dignity is valuable to itself.
I actually think that we would distinguish, just like we saw in the earlier discussion of the Sugya, yeah. about ksus versus food, the difference between Tsar and Bizayon. I would distinguish between pain. Like, I don't think there's pain when you are humiliated. But there is a lack of dignity. That's what I think. Ned, you had a thought on that? Or Eitan, you had a hand? Okay. So let's add the Meiri to this discussion quickly. The Meiri in Ksuvah Samach Zayin says, Afal pisha ro'an esa ani misparnes derech kavod, ein bekach limshoch yad, shelo litem lo, adraba, ro'i lahafligo b'matanosav, she'efshar. Why? Shehaaniim choshishin lefamim li yichusam umadregas ma'alasam. Velo mishum tainug him osin. When aniim use this money to get back to their normal lifestyle, they're not doing that, notice this phrase, mishum tainug. They're not indulging when that ani ben tuvim buys fancy meat. It's really just because they're choshish for their yichus and their madrega, like the social class that they're in. So relative to their social class, they're really just meeting their basic needs. So you could read the Meiri as saying that, yeah, you know, de machzoro just means that basic needs is relativized to the class that you're in. We don't have an objective metric for what's considered the basic needs that somebody has. It depends on where you're at in society. Let me make this more relevant. I remember when I was on Nensius Waikola as a madrich. So Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg at the time came and he spoke about somebody who's on tuition assistance. You know, he's like, I saw somebody on tuition assistance and they went to a Starbucks to buy themselves a coffee and I pulled them aside. Like, how could you spend money on a Starbucks when you're asking for a break from the school? What a chutzpah. And there is a certain logic to that, right? But on the other hand, I mean, that's exactly the De Machzoro type argument of the Meiri, which is, if you live in a society where it's just normal to grab a Starbucks, that's a valid use of tzedakah funds. Right? I mean, choshishin lefam liyichusam madregas ma'alasam. That's the idea of De Machzoro, is to put people at the normal quality of living that people have. So I don't think that's necessarily an outrageous use of money. Similarly, people get all worked up today when people are on Section 8, welfare assistance, and then you see like those same people with like very fancy iPhones. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But that's not necessarily so bad, because you could say that nowadays, just given the type of society we live in, like having a phone and access to information and ways and maybe even Instagram. that's just considered like a normal, not for Jews, but that's just like a normal way of living given the type of society that we live in. Right, so one might say that De Machzoro Asher Yechzar Lo, the whole point is that the social norm is determined by the norm in society. Right, so we don't have an objective metric for what's considered basic needs. Oh, food, shelter, and clothing. Once basic needs get determined by the basic standard of living in society, where do you come from? Those aren't considered, in other words, the whole point of the mirror is that we don't call those tanugim, we don't call those indulgences. Right? That's just considered the de machzor of their class. Josh, you had a hand? Ned? Josh, then Ned.
I think you mentioned once, like, in the, say, in the 5 pounds, like, someone gets tuition break and they start going on, like, vacations to, I don't know, Hawaii or whatever.
Nah, that's a tie note. That's objectively a tie note.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where to draw the line. I agree that there's definitely a place to draw the line. Well? Take that into consideration.
Yeah, fair.
I do want to say this, though, meaning, and I think this is obvious, but I want to say a little more about this. I do think it's obvious. Well, let me say this, then I'll make my point. When you get the Rishonim talking about De Machzoro Asher Yefzar Lo, so they phrase the Chiyuv Tzedakah in the following way. Here's the Rambam in Manas Aniyim Zayin Aleph. How much tzedakah is somebody supposed to give? Mitzvah Aseh Litein Tzedakah L'Aniyim Kifi Masha Roi L'Ani. So what's the shear of tzedakah?
Yeah, what the ani deserves. All right, so that's clearly a needs-based conception of tzedakah, correct?
And it's not even basic needs, right? The Rambam just says in very general terms what's appropriate for the ani, right? What's fit for him? Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. What does the Rambam say? In accordance with what the ani is lacking, that's what you're obligated to give. So notice that we've just moved away from all these other shiurim. Forget about Meiser, forget about Chomesh, forget about Shlish HaShekel. Ram says, Lefi Masha Chaser Ani. The tour in Yerodea, Hofa Tzedaka Simen Reish Mem Tes. What's the shiur of Tzedaka? Shiur Nisinasa Miyadam Haseges Yitain? So where are all these Rishonim getting this? Where do you think their source is? De Machzoro, exactly. The real, and this is how they define the Shear of Tzedakah. The Shear of Tzedakah is to give in accordance with the needs of the Aniyim. So notice, first of all, not only have we moved away from the giver perspective, right? It's not about a certain amount that he has to give, right? Or just a minimum shear. We've also moved away from some absolute fixed number. We've moved away from a percentage over here to machzorim shaniyim. Like, it's a variable amount defined by the claims and needs of the ani. So it's a totally different type of shear, and it's exclusively driven by the needs of the ani. And that's, I think, the Rishonim are getting that from the idea of de machzor asher yachzor lo. We in agreement on that? Yeah. I think today we never think in those terms of tzedakah. Like, we think in terms of meiser, we think in terms of some amount you're supposed to give, some fixed amount or some percentage amount. But I think it's very clear from these Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch adopts this also, but explicitly the Torah, explicitly the Rambam, that the real Chiyuv Tzedakah begins with satisfying the needs of the Aniyim. That's what the obligation is. So, why don't we think in those terms today?
We don't believe in rights.
What?
Because we don't believe in rights.
Ah, Josh, stop.
That's
because
of the
Ramah.
What? Because of the Ramah and Meiser. Like, that shifted it away.
Yeah, why did it shift away? Historical star. Well, yeah, I'll take any star I can get.
That's third floor, not second floor.
What?
Third floor.
Why are we, why is there this misconception of what stucca is? Or the shear of stucca?
I mean, maybe it's just impractical to calculate what the torque on each instance is.
Okay, maybe it's because there's no central Bureau of Statistics that tells you, you know, what the needs of the NEM are. Maybe one interesting perspective. Josh?
I feel like maybe people in our community don't really see sort of NEM, like, very often, maybe. And so when they look at Sadaka, it's hard for them to conceptualize it as...
Interesting. Maybe they're so divorced from the, like,
yeah,
the actual needs of the NEM.
Yeah, the average person, I don't think, like, really sees, like, the family struggling to feed their children.
It's like the Argamar about building the Beis Shaar and the Delas that closes out that Tzedakas NEM. Daniel?
Maybe also because, A, there's a lot of taxes, and B, tuition could be considered maybe tzedakah, so therefore...
It's another reason why they're, like, shielded from...
So I guess people just feel like they don't have as much to give, or because they already give a lot.
Oh. Okay, so I think that's part of it. And that's a line you get in a lot of in a lot of poskim about this. So notice, I'll just go back here to the Rambam. I think the reason is, notice this. It's true that you're chayiv to give to be tzorech aniyim, but it's qualified by one thing. What's it qualified by? Im yado maseges. Here's the Rambam, Zayin Aleph. If you're wealthy enough to give, right? Here's the tour. Rishmam Tesh. Shir Nisinasa. Im Yado Maseges. Yitain Kefitzar Achaniyim. Right. So the question: if you could afford it, right? So it's qualified by that condition. Okay. So the question is, I don't know. Is our Yad Maseges to support all these aniyim? So maybe today, yes, but for many generations, it's very clear that most people couldn't support others, right? So here's the famous comment of the Aruch HaShulchan on this. Over here, give me a second. We'll end in 3 minutes. Hopefully. I'm just not sure why the Shulchan Aruch keeps disappearing at me. No, I don't think it's that one. Maybe it is, but... Is Aruch HaShulchan on 55?
It was right after, it was a little bit after,
though. Oh, no, here it is. Page 47. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan quotes a lot of these dinim. So in Simin Reish Nun, Aruch HaShulchan Yerideya, Sif Dalid, he cites the Rama about Meiser. Okay? And he says, I don't understand the idea of Meiser at all. He says, Mimanavshach. He says, Ain't a move on klal, the idea of Meiser. Mimanavshach. Im Yad HaYachid Maseges, Kegon Shehu Ashir Muflag, Vaniyim Muatim, Sheyachal Lamalos the Kulam De Machsoram, Lama Eina Machuyev. Halo Mitzvah Satstakahu Al Kol Achad Misra Al Kamefurash Batora. So what's his Miman of Shach argument on the first horn of the Miman of Shach? Yeah, if you're rich and you have enough money to satisfy the needs of the Aniyim, then you have a Chiyev. So if you're Bill Gates, right, and you have billions of dollars that could, cure poverty in, let's just say, Seattle, right, or the state of Washington, then you have an obligation to do that. And so what's this discussion of Meiser? And v'im ein hayad maseges, and if you can't afford that, v'harabim p'turim ein yad kula maseges ki onchanim merubim v'ashirim u'atim k'mo b'avon osenu harabim bizmanenu zeh. Mechim bedoros harbe shalefanenu, hayim efshar lamalos de machsoro, deinan mechuyavim rak b'meiser el chomesh kefi mashakasanu v'simin reishim and reish memtas. And he's like, well, and if we don't have enough money to satisfy the needs of the Aniyim, then we just have a lesser obligation. Okay? We are not able to satisfy Demach Sorum. So he says this, V'yira li, Dahachi Perusho, Kigon Shematzavenu Tov, V'rov Ashirim Be'ir, V'aniyim Mu'atim, Devadai Hachov Al Kulam, V'lo Al Hayechidim. V'gam Sha'ayachid Yachol Ba'atzmo L'malos Demach Sorum, Mikamakam Harei Mutalim Al Kulam. So his point is, look, if the community has enough resources to satisfy the needs of the Aniyim, then everybody has a duty to chip in to satisfy the needs of the Aniyim, to satisfy Dei Machzoro, and it's a communal obligation to satisfy those needs. And he says, and if the Rabim, if there are not enough people in town, if there aren't many people in town, or you're the only rich guy in town, Kigon She'enam Be'ir, O Shehu Dar Be'yachidus, Chayev hu levado lases im yada masegas. So what does that mean? You personally are obligated, Bill Gates on his own is obligated to satisfy the needs of the Aniyim if nobody else in town is rich enough to help him. Everybody see that? Okay. And then he goes on to say in Sif Yud Aleph, he says, this din of Dei Machzoro made sense bizman she Yisrael hayu al mechonam, Sheruban kekulon hayu balabatim misparnasin bechavod meadmasam viktsas misachor. A lot of people had land, and some people were involved in business. But aniim hayu muatim, and there are only a few aniim. In that type of society, haisa hatzdaka maspekas lede machzor haaniim. So if you live in a society where you have enough wealthy people and only a few aniim, then it makes sense that the chiyuv tzedakah is to satisfy their needs, because it's achievable. Aval b'avanoseinu rabim zahar b'meos b'shanim shenedchenu midechi yaldechi lein lanu lo karkos v'lo davar kayami uparnaseinu me'avir v'anu nizonin baman kibdor midbar. What he's trying to say is that basically these Jews in Eastern Europe had no money, they had no income, they all lived in poverty. And he says, v'nisrabu aniyim v'ashirim nismatu. Ein begeder klal ahaspik l'chol aniyim de machzorim. It's just not possible to provide for the aniyim all of their needs. And he therefore argues, and he says, this is the reason why the institution of tzedakah has fallen apart, nisbatlu kubos tzedakah b'chol ir v'ir. And instead, we just provide the basic needs for the aniyim. I'm still trying to figure out how to read this line exactly. But I think what this line means is that nowadays the only type of tzedakah that we can do is to provide for the basic food and shelter needs of the Aniyim. We don't have the financial wherewithal to provide Dei Machzorim of Kefid Tzorech Aniyim. That's the main argument of Aruch HaShulchan. Meaning, just the economic condition of Jewry over the last 300 years in his day was such that it made it impossible to provide Kefid Mashirvoy Lani, to provide from like a needs-based point of view of Dei Machzorech Aniyim. So that's why tzedakah shifted to just giving, you know, some minimal amount of support. But Me'ikar HaDin, it's very clear that if a community could support it, then they have this much more robust obligation of tzedakah. Does that make sense to you guys? So the historical, basically the Aruch HaShulchan is providing us with a historical explanation for why tzedakah shifted from the way the Rambam and the Tur describe it to something much, much less than that. Okay? I just want to add 30 seconds more, which is going to be a minute and a half more, comments. So to add to this point, there's a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer where he makes this observation, which I think captures the essence of this idea of Dei Machzoro, which the Aruch HaShulchan is getting at. Just find the Chassam Sofer here. Dan, did you find the Chassam Sofer? Yeah, 52. Perfect. Some sofer in Chelek Bay in a tshuva of Siman Reish Chavtes was asked about a who may rabbanan did the chike shaita tuva lavosav, a certain Talmud Chacham whose parents were in financial distress. Mehema mechubadim b'nei tovim. His parents were from like a wealthy, like they, but they came upon hard times. Ve'enon yecholim hesparnes mikubo shel tzedakah. The parents can't satisfy their needs from tzedakah. Mahaben in yodam asages lases lahem kol tzarcham ki tipulo v'tzarche besa merubim. So the son doesn't have enough money to satisfy his needs, his parents' needs, and to also give tzedakah to others. Mahu sheyachal liten lahem ma'asro sheragi lahafresh mimamono mibli lases l'shum ani acher. Could the son give away all of his tzedakah money to his parents and not give it to anybody else? Okay, that's the question. Look here what the Sam Sofer says in response. Really amazing response here. Here. He says this. In the context, so he answers that the son has to provide for his parents. He doesn't have to give tzedakah to anybody else. And then the question is, how much does the son have to give? So we're told this. Hadivadai mashma midin Torah. When you talk about the doraisa obligation of tzedakah, Ned, why don't you take a stab at this? Kol sheyeshlo. Yes, there, Shar Mamono. Lo ani hatzarech. So, what does that mean, guys? What does that line mean?
So, you have to meet your certain basic needs, but all of the surplus should go to Ani.
Yeah. So, Midin Torah, when you're talking about the Torah obligation of tzedakah, Kol sheyeshlo parnasa asyomo, anybody who has enough income for the day, tzarech litein hamosar la'ani. Everything beyond that has to be given to the poor people. Rak chayev kodman. Just, you don't have a chayev to give the ani more than you need for your own. You don't have to lose your own parnasa asyom to the ani, but anything above that level goes to the ani. Everybody see how radical that view of some sofer? What?
It's
like the Peter, I don't know if you know Peter Singer's like effective altruism type arguments, you know. If you could not buy a cup of coffee and send the money to cure somebody of malaria in Africa, you have a duty to do that. Now Tom Sofer says, you're entitled to keep Parnassas Yomo. Anything above that belongs to the enemy. See that? Kol sheyesh lo dai parnasas yomo yeser she'ar mamono l'ani atzarech. That's the shir of tzedakah. And that's very consistent with this formulation of chiyuv tzedakah kimasher roi l'ani. And there really is no shir. In Usha, they made a takana of not giving more than 20%. That's a takana midrabanan. And Chassam Sofer says, just interestingly, in some cases, Chazal waived that takana. That if it's about supporting your parents, then we wave the takana and we go back to make our din. But does everybody see the Chassam Sofer's definition of the din Torah shir tzedakah? What? Anything above kidei parnasasa is mamonani. Okay? Now the last comment I'll make for today, I really apologize for keeping us over, but it'll help us get along in the next year. The last comment I want to make for today is just that when we talk about De Machsoro, I think it's obvious that there's a hierarchy within De Machsoro. It doesn't mean that all tzedakah is created alike. So yes, my chiyuv, once I have Parnasas Yomi, I have a chiyuv to satisfy the chisaron of others, to help them get married, get them clothes, fancy meat if that's what they are used to. Correct? But obviously, it doesn't mean that that's the same type or as strong of an obligation as making sure that somebody's not starving in the streets. So if you have a choice to give tzedakah to somebody who wants fancy meat, because he's a ani ben tuvim, and an ani who needs literally just food to live, I think it's obvious to all of us that your chiyuv tzedaka to the person who needs food to survive comes first, right? Do we agree about that? I don't think there's any controversy about that. And I just want to say that's mefurash in the Yushalmi in. Which Yushalmi is that mefurash in? Sorry, not here. Guys, what Yushalmi is the mefurash in? Yushalmi in Horios. Perek Gimel. The Yushalmi here says explicitly, and this gets paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, these priorities that the Mishnah there lays out for giving tzedakah are assuming that everyone's needs are equal. But the Yushalmi holds, im haya zeh lahachayos vzeh lechasos oso, sheh lahachayos kodem. Sorry, im haya zeh lahachayos vzeh lechasos oso sheh lahachayos kodem. If one person needs clothes and the other person needs basic foods, who gets priority?
Basic needs.
The basic needs guy, right? So I think we'd say the same thing for de machsoro asher yachsarlo, right? Somebody needs a sus lirchov alav, even though that's part of your chiyuv tzedaka, that would go your prior obligations to the guy who needs food on your table, on his table. And that gets paskin shulchan aruch reish nun aleph, chayav lahaktim lahachil ha-re'ev milchasos ha'arim. Right, there is a hierarchy within tzedakah. I think you get a very interesting question. What happens if you're a poor person? You're not a wealthy person. So for you, it's sufficient for your parnasas yomo on the chsam sofer to have a slice of pizza. But now Daniel goes to La Marais every night. Right? And he becomes poor. So you have a chiyuv to... Once you have parnasas yomo, could it make sense that you have a chiyuv to him... That's, for him, that's a necessity. But you already satisfied your pronounced it. It's an interesting question whether you could have a chiyuv tzedaka for Daniel's filet mignon or something. Right. But that I'm not sure about. Ned, do you have a comment on this? And we'll give you the last word.
Both could be necessities if you rank necessities.
They could be what?
Both clothing and food could be necessities if they rank between them.
Correct.
Before that, food, the way you phrased it earlier, was that food is necessity, clothing.
Oh, sorry. It's more of a necessity than the other necessity. I think de maxoro. Daniel's de maxoro steak is a necessity, right? Just like the iPhone and the thing is viewed based off his circumstance as a type of necessity. But we obviously we have a hierarchy within that. All right, Shkak, guys. I'll stop here.